Tomorrow at noon Eastern, we will be going live to stream the final arguments from the prosecution and defense in the Tyler Robinson preliminary hearing, and we will find out if Judge Graff is going to bind over Tyler Robinson for trial. We will also be giving a recap that evening. Today, Erica Kirk and Andrew Wilson once again expose two of Candace Owens' most blatant lies. I'm going to be showing you everything. Stick around for both. From the beginning, the most evil lie that the Podsloppers tried to sell was that Erica Kirk conspired to murder her own husband. This was one of the things that got me most emotional and most jived to get involved in this fight, and I think that's true for a lot of you as well. In December of 2025, Candace had someone on her show named Mitch Snow, and together they fabricated this story that Erica Kirk was at a military base called Fort Huachuca with Charlie Kirk's head of security named Brian Harple, meeting with military leaders to conspire to assassinate Charlie Kirk. This was again on September 9th, they allege, the day before he was shot and killed. Mitch and Candace said, they came out openly and said that this was September 9th. After that, for months, the conspiracy class had asked Erica Kirk for an alibi for that day, and I always said that she should not give that alibi, that she did not owe it to anyone. They didn't have any evidence she was there. They didn't have any right to her position. And today, Andrew Wilson released a video with a statement of Erica Kirk's alibi, and it has silenced the conspiracy theorist. Take a look.
America, dated August 13, 2026, made sure that I had this that day. Scottsdale, Arizona, statement from Invita Medical Center regarding Erica Kirk. Invita Medical Center independently confirms that Erica Kirk and her mother were present at its facility in Scottsdale, Arizona, at the time Charlie Kirk was shot. Erica was accompanying her mother while she received treatment. Charlie Kirk had encouraged Erica's mother to seek care at Invita, which specializes in precision oncology, the treatment of chronic illness, and Lyme disease. Invita is providing this confirmation publicly at the request of Erica and her mother. To protect patient privacy and medical confidentiality, Invita will not disclose or comment on any diagnosis, treatment, medical records, or other protected health information beyond the limited information authorized for release. Wait a second, though. How do we know that's real? Huh? How do we know that's real? Well, I made sure that I had that, too, because, you know, due diligence and all. This, my friends, from the law offices of McMurdy Law Firm, via electronic mail, to whom it may concern, Invita Medical Centers America provides the attached statement regarding Erica Kirk. This statement is based upon the first personal knowledge of Invita employees. Invita's founder and CEO, Dr. Dino Prado, personally confirmed the accuracy of the statement. The statement is factual and unambiguous. Any effort to question the truthfulness of the statement would be defamatory, as it would impugn the character and credibility of Invita, Dr. Prado, and Invita employers or employees who personally witnessed the event described. Govern yourselves accordingly. Sincerely, the McMurdy Law Firm.
And just to make it absolutely clear, what Candace Owens was accusing Erica Kirk of, again, with zero evidence, and also just to make it clear that she did say Erica had no alibi, here is Candace herself making these accusations, again, with zero evidence.
You lied about your whereabouts on the morning of September 10th. Little details have been edited. You said that you were accompanying your mother as she was receiving a treatment. Like I said, I now have something which strongly disputes that narrative. Nobody saw Erica on the day of Charlie's assassination. Nobody's come forward, at least, to say that they saw Erica on the day of the assassination in the places, the very public places that she claims to be, is that Erica and Lori were apart on September 10th. So, a couple of questions. Did the doctor just say, you could say you were here? Well, this will be an air-packed alibi. We will say I own the office. We're friends. I do dispute that Erica was with her on September 10th receiving a treatment, but we'll get to that later. Not important for today. This brings me to Erica Kirk. Upon further information, I no longer believe that she was with her mother on the morning of September 10th. And the New York Times says she's in the hospital, so everyone runs with that. That's not true. And she was not in the hospital on September 10th. I can debunk that.
We now have confirmation. We had no reason to disbelieve her in the first place, but now we know Erica Kirk was with her sick mother the day before her husband was murdered in cold blood. And instead of getting sympathy or empathy for both of those horrible facts, those are two difficult things in 2 days, the internet said that she was a liar and a conspirer, and they had zero evidence to do it. The people talking about this, by the way, are not hypothetical. I know that we like to talk about the fact that Candace Owens has a large audience. The reality is I use the name Candace Owens because she is the most famous. There are so many people doing this, especially if you're on X. If you're not on X, God bless you. I mean, really, it's a horrible place to be right now. There are spaces. If you're not aware, there's something called spaces on X where you can kind of get together. It's almost in a group Zoom call. And what these people do, I spent over 6 hours of my time last week on separate debates on X talking to people who have spent thousands of hours on this case and believe that Erica and TPUSA did this, but they have zero evidence for those accusations. None whatsoever. And in those spaces, I had people telling me Erica Kirk has no alibi, as if she needs an alibi in the first place, but immediately they're disproven. I'm talking to these people on Wednesday. On Friday, Andrew Wilson comes out with these videos. Just because you haven't seen the evidence does not mean it does not exist. Just because we haven't had a trial does not mean we have seen all of the evidence that the prosecution is going to put out there. Just because you believe that the police never talked to Erica Kirk does not mean they never talked to Erica Kirk. In fact, they 100% did. Now, is Erica Kirk a suspect? I hope not. There's no evidence that she should be. But did they take her statement? Of course they did. She's the widow of the person who was murdered. Of course she spoke to state investigators and law enforcement. Again, these same people sit in X spaces for hours every day talking and gossiping about it. They're in groups together. They very rarely have someone on who disagrees. And if they do, it's 100 versus 1. And they make things up, and they make so much up that you can't even keep it straight. You can't disprove something that is fake. You cannot disprove a negative. It's on them. They have the burden of proof to prove it. And so what they do is they gang up on you. That's what they did to me last week. I went into it. I had no problem with it. But these people spend, I kid you not, thousands of hours together just gossiping and ruminating in all of the conspiracy slop that they made up during their dream last night. I kid you not, from some of the things that I said in those X spaces, there have been half a dozen podcasts made about me personally, looking into my personal life. Not that I've got anything to hide. I've been very open about who I am and my connections to this case. But there have been half a dozen podcasts made about me with hundreds of thousands of views in the last few weeks because these people just want to grift on this so hard. This is not just a massive industry. It is a hobby for people. It's a purpose for people. People who don't have kids or don't want to spend time with their kids, spend time with other people in X spaces so that they don't have to face their own life. They have to put purpose into a conspiracy theory 1,000 miles away because they don't know how to serve their community. And this brings us to the second thing that was debunked. Really quick, before we get to that, I do want to talk about the sponsor of the show, Artza. Artza is one of the coolest things I've ever partnered with. They sent me one of their boxes. Essentially, they send you a box from Israel, where there are actual Israeli artisans that send you cool products from the Holy Land. The one I got, this box is called the Jesus Trail Box. They had soaps made along the trail that Christ took from Capernaum to Jerusalem. It was so cool. They sent me spices from the area. They sent me this really cool map, a little toy for my daughter. One of the coolest things I've ever gotten, and luckily they're giving you guys 20% off if you use my code CAR20. You can also use the link I'm going to put it at the top of the description below. If you click that link, they will know that I sent you. Go check it out. It is such an amazing product. Again, use CAR20 for 20% off. And this brings us to the second thing that was debunked on Andrew Wilson's live stream this week. At the same time as people are demanding an alibi for Erica Kirk, ironically, they have fabricated one for Tyler Robinson. One that he and the defense are not even alleging, by the way, because there's no evidence for it. The story is that Tyler couldn't have been at UVU because he was actually hours away at a smokehouse, a restaurant, in Panguitch, Utah. Now, Panguitch, Utah, I've never been. It's in the middle of nowhere. It is tiny. It's probably got a few restaurants, and this is one of them. What is the evidence for the fact that he was there? A conspiracy slopper cornered a waiter there and asked if they had seen Tyler, and they thought maybe they had. That was the only evidence. There's no paper trail. There's no receipt that shows it was Tyler Robinson. In fact, the prosecution and defense have the geolocation of Tyler Robinson's car and his cell phone. And none of that evidence was presented that he was in Panguitch. The defense could have done that in the preliminary hearing. They could have done it in the briefing. They never did that. All these people had was a waiter who thought maybe they'd seen Tyler Robinson there. Here is Andrew Wilson speaking to the owner of the smokehouse saying none of this is true.
I just want to be kind of very blunt.
and just ask you very bluntly some of these questions that that I've been wanting to get some answers to, and so has a lot of the public. Was Tyler Robinson at your steakhouse? Was Tyler Robinson at your steakhouse?
With the information that we currently have, no.
I want you to let that sink in for a second, ladies and gentlemen. With the information we currently have, no. No. Okay. Can you walk me through how all of that happened?
Yes. I mean, the thing is I'm not out to disprove anybody.
Sure.
I'm just going to, like, give the facts. So after the incident on September 10th, the assassination, I was contacted the next week by one of my servers that when the pictures hit the news, they felt like that they may have served that individual. And I took it upon myself to try to figure out what the best form of action was. I didn't really have, there really wasn't a hotline other than the news one, and I actually have a relative who was in law enforcement for a long, long time, and I asked them what I should do, and they gave me a contact number to an FBI agent that they had contact with.
I see. And did you actually speak to this FBI agent?
I did. I actually called the FBI agent. And then the transaction that that had gone through, the one that we determined could have been the one, I sent them an electronic copy of it.
I see. And you were able to do that through whatever your carrier is, I'm guessing?
Yeah, our POS.
Any members of defense team contact you? You haven't had any members of... you know, a prosecution team or law enforcement of any kind who have contacted you about this matter?
Okay, law enforcement, we've absolutely had nobody contact us. As far as the defense, we did have somebody leave a number, but I couldn't verify that it was the actual defense team.
Couldn't verify that this was actually the defense team, and why is that? Well, Mr. Perkins elaborates. So it could have just been anybody.
Yeah, I couldn't, and so I didn't follow through with that because at that time we were getting a lot of spam calls and a lot of, just a lot of different weird things happening.
Had somebody go to your establishment and do something akin to perhaps an ambush interview? Did you want to discuss that at all?
I was recorded and it was broadcasted without my knowledge or permission, and I don't...
He was recorded... And it was broadcast without his knowledge and his permission. Gee, I wonder who he's talking about there. Certain initials, DD, perhaps?
Appreciate that. I don't know very many Americans that would.
Right.
I feel violated because of that. I feel, you know, I mean, the thing is that we're not trying to hide anything. We were just trying to be good citizens. We're trying to run a small business. Very challenging times with the economy like it is. And fuel prices like they are, and our relationship in the world with the United States the way they are, we're struggling. Businesses all over our area are struggling. We're not looking to be part of conspiracy theories or anything, and we're just trying to be good citizens. And
we're not looking to try to be part of conspiracies or anything. We're just trying to be good citizens, he says. After negating all of the bullshit. Here comes the Candace crazies. It's AI. It's Mr. E with his voice at 600% pitch. It's Mossad. Nope, it's quite true. I'm afraid that this is the man himself.
So, yeah, I do take a little bit of offense to how that went down. We haven't lied. We haven't lied to anybody. We've given everybody. We've been open with everybody. With the information that we've had at the time, and it's just like this, as knowledge increases, I'm more than willing to share that. And And it's as simple as that. I don't want to be an internet sensation. Never wanted to be.
I understand. Was that video that was taken and broadcast without your permission, was that selectively edited, would you say, in your opinion?
You know, I just watched part of it, and I don't think it was, at the very least, I think it was poor judgment.
This is not even to mention the fact that the clearest photo that we have of Tyler Robinson is at my local Dairy Queen here in Orem, and it's unmistakable that it's him, and it's impossible for him to be in Dairy Queen and Panguitch. They're too far apart. It's hours apart. This interview with this smokehouse owner is why I say that the investigators are not just asking questions. They say, we're just asking questions. And when I say investigators, I'm talking about the podcast hosts, talking about people on X. They're not asking questions. They are hurting lives. They are harassing this man. They have hurt his business. They have fabricated a story for clicks. That is not asking questions. That is irresponsible. And it's false. They want to exonerate Tyler Robinson so badly that they do not care about the fabricated evidence that they have to present in order to do that or the lives they hurt in the process. And I brought this up with many of them, and they've openly told me they do not care. One of the best parts of this entire live stream is between Andrew Wilson and the man who has publicly been defamed by Candace Owens and her fans and who wanted nothing to do with this. And that's the owner of the Panguitch Smokehouse. What he says right here to Andrew will give you chills. He's not a media personality, and yet he sums up this entire situation better than anyone.
That he asked me to include with this audio recording, and that's exactly what I'm going to do and hold my word to him. Here was the statement that he gave me to read. How did we get to this point? We now have self-proclaimed citizen journalists running around looking for a conspiracy behind everything. They're not always interested in finding the most likely truth. Many of them have already decided what they believe, and then they go looking for anything they can use to support that belief. They secretly video and record innocent people. They pressure them, embarrass them, and try to catch them saying something that can be edited or taken out of context. Boy, don't I know all about that. Then they put it online and let thousands of strangers pass judgment without knowing the whole story. They run in packs, one side against the other. Each group has its own theory, its own villains, its own version of the truth. The more confusion and anger they create, the more likes, followers, comments, and money they receive. Meanwhile, real people are being hurt. Reputations are damaged, families are harassed, rumors are repeated until people begin treating them like facts. Potential jury pools can be tainted, legitimate investigations hindered, and the public is encouraged to distrust law enforcement, attorneys, courts, and practically everyone else involved. The public has become nothing more than pawns in their game, and the truth has become secondary. He goes on to say, I believe in freedom of speech and freedom of press. I also believe government and public officials should be questioned and held accountable, and responsible citizen journalists can play an important role in that. But secretly recording private citizens, pressuring people, publishing half-truths, and turning someone else's life into online entertainment is not honest journalism. A camera and a Facebook page do not automatically make someone a journalist. Followers do not make someone credible. Suspicion is not evidence, and repeating something over and over does not make it true. Social media has helped create this problem because anger and conspiracy get more attention than facts. A wild accusation travels much faster than a careful explanation. By the time the truth catches up, the damage has already been done. So how do we deal with it? We stop rewarding it. We quit sharing claims we can't verify. We stop treating edited videos and anonymous accusations as proof. We demand evidence. We protect due process and remember that the people being targeted have families, reputations, and rights just like the rest of us. Truth still matters. Fairness still matters. Integrity still matters. Justice should be decided by facts and evidence, not by whichever online group can yell the loudest or get the most views. If we stop giving these people the attention they are chasing, maybe this kind of so-called journalism can finally return to the trash bin of history where it belongs. I wrote this a while back, and it's pretty much how I feel about the state of the world and everything in regards to this.
So I'll be honest with you guys, I was feeling quite discouraged on Friday. It's just so exhausting sometimes to debunk these lies. A lot of you have expressed this in the comments. You've just said, I can't keep up with this. It's too much, and it's emotionally taxing. It's exhausting to engage with bad faith actors. It feels like the souls of so many people are just being corrupted by this case, people who maybe we once respected. And it can be a bit blackpilling at times. You see it and you feel like, is there any hope for the country? It's not even strictly political. It's spiritual. That's what I've said from the beginning. But I took this weekend to spend time with my family. I prayed about it a lot. I always pray about, should I just stop talking about this stuff? Should I be done? Should I pivot to another subject? And after seeing this video this morning of that owner giving that statement to Andrew Wilson, honestly, it's just invigorated me more than ever. It made me realize why it's so important we continue to litigate the truth and share it. We've got to push back. We cannot let these people take control of the narrative. Because again, if you look on X right now, if you look at the top videos on YouTube, all you see is the conspiracy theorists. It's so popular. It is a good story that people want to hear because it's impossible to believe the most simple answer, which is that a leftist hated Charlie Kirk and did not want him around. It's just not enough to go silent, especially when you're someone like me who's been blessed with a platform like I have. And that's why tomorrow, guys, at 11 a.m. Eastern, we are going to be live streaming the entire Tyler Robinson hearing. This is the hearing where we're going to be hearing the closing arguments from the prosecution and defense. And Judge Graff is going to decide if this goes to trial. I'm also going to give a recap tomorrow night for those of you who can't watch the live stream because I know it's during working hours. So if you miss it, don't worry. We'll keep it short, 1 hour live stream to give you the full recap. We will see you tomorrow for all of that.